Open your Bible today to Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9 from Galatians chapter 4. Verse 8 says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more?" Now, I don't want to comment at length on the background to this verse, but I want to focus on this expression that we have in verse 9, that Paul says of the Galatians that they were known by God. He says, "You have come to know God, or rather, to be known by God." It's a really marvelous expression. We think how we often say we know God. Christians know God. But here we get what Paul sort of almost corrects himself. He says, "We know God, or you know God, but rather, actually, we are known by God." And I want to explore the thought behind this verse a little bit. Of course, with the Galatians, they, for the most part, had been Gentiles, pagans, and they had worshipped idols. And he says of them in verse 8, "At that time, you did not know God. But now, through the sovereign grace of God and through the gospel, that they knew God." But with this little, again, this little expression, he adds to it, and he says, "Or rather, that you are known by God." It's an amazing thought that God knows us. It's really what is entailed in Christianity. We are known by God. Now, being known by God is not really about his omniscience. God is omniscient. He knows all people. He knows the Christians. He knows the non-Christians. He knows the saint. He knows the sinner. He knows the wicked. He knows all about everybody, all of their thoughts. So that's not the point of the expression, being known by God. It's not about his omniscience. For example, in Psalm 1, it says in verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Well, doesn't he know the way of the wicked as well? Absolutely. He knows all about the wicked. In fact, all their deeds will be brought up before them at the great white throne judgment, on the final judgment. So he knows all about them. So it's not his omniscience here. It's not about the fact that he knows all things. It's about relationship. That's the meaning of the word. He's in relationship with us. He knows us intimately as his own. He has communion with us, and we have communion with him. That's the idea of the fact that he knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. We are known by God. It's a wonderful thought that we can have communion with God, that he comes and he visits us. He dwells with us. This is what Christianity has done for us. This is what has been done through the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Not only that we come into the knowledge of God, but that he knows us. He has fellowship with us. You know, the Lord Jesus could say in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." There we have it again. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows them. He knows who they are. But just again, I stress that, not just in the way of his omniscience. Of course, he knows everybody. He knows who we are, both the righteous and the righteous. "But I know my sheep." He knows them in a special way that he doesn't know other people. And so I would like to encourage our hearts with this today, that the Lord knows them that are his. Now, if you turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'll just read verse 21 to 23 as I close off this little Bible bite meditation. Verse 21, the Lord Jesus says these solemn words, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And so the workers of lawlessness, or the workers of iniquity in the day of judgment, the Lord will say of them, "I never knew you." Yes, he knew all about them. He knew all about their works. But He never knew them. He was never in relationship to them. Now, this passage in Matthew 7 sometimes troubles some Christians. And they worry when they read the words, many on that day will say, Lord, Lord. The Lord will say to many in that day, you know, I never knew you. And many in that day actually will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we, you know, do this? Didn't we do that? And then finally only to be lost. And now I want to stress here, the Lord doesn't say that I did know you, but I know you no longer. In other words, he doesn't say in this passage, I knew you once, but I don't know you anymore, as if you can lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I never knew these once. I never knew them. Again, he knows all about them, but he never knew them. He was never in relationship with them. And, you know, the false gospel of the lordship salvation, I believe lordship salvation, that teaching, it's a false doctrine. And they stress this verse. They're always preaching on this, these words of the Lord Jesus. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And they press it upon real Christians to search to see if they are even Christians, to look within themselves. But if you'll notice, what the Lord is saying here is that these ones in that day, they turn around and they look at their works. In fact, they're doing what the Lordship Salvation teachers actually are suggesting, that it's ultimately our works, is that we can say, Lord, Lord, and that we can have many works to present to God. That's what makes us real. That's essentially what the doctrine is teaching. And I know they deny that and they press against that when I point this out, but really that's what it comes down to. And so these people, these workers of lawlessness, these workers of iniquity, they're turning to the Lord and they're saying, look at our works. Didn't we do great works in your name? Didn't we do great miracles in your name? Mighty works in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? So they're pointing to their works. And the point is that those who are saved, those whom the Lord knows, are those who are saved not on the basis of their works, on the great things they have done or have professed to have done. They're saved absolutely on the basis of the Lord's sovereign grace. Saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Nothing added to that. Now, works may be an evidence of salvation, that's something else. But that's not what the subject here is being brought before us. It's not evidence of salvation. The point here is reality or non-reality. And so may the Lord encourage us with this fact that we're saved purely by grace, not by our works. And what that grace has done has brought us into a wonderful relationship whereby God knows us. May the Lord encourage you and strengthen you in that assurance today. Amen.